and welcome to the Game Table Podcast. My name's Ian, and I will be your host. This week, we're helping Bezier Games celebrate the Year of the Card Game by taking a whole week's look at several of the games in their catalog. Which is funny, because today, we will be looking at Sears Catalog, which is designed by Taylor Rayner and, again, Bezier Games, which came out in 2024, so this year. Artists are Rob Lakultka and Christine Mutzuk. Now, as we all know about Bezier Games, is they love their werewolves. Well, Sears Catalog, which it is spelled S-E-E-R-S, so a seer is a character, and again, there's probably plenty of history around it, but if you played a lot of werewolf, then a seer is one who gets to find out who the werewolves are. As a seer, you will have to be on top of your game, or one slip up, you'll be werewolf chow. In this game, you, as the seer, you need to go check out the catalog to buy some nice items to protect yourself, help you find some werewolves, all of the fun little things that seers would do. There's plenty of crazy artifacts that you'll be searching for and added them to your collection to make you a better seer. That was flavor text, so let's talk about the actual game. Sears Catalog is an almost shedding card game. Anyway, in which players tries to get rid of almost all of their cards. That's why I say almost. Anyway, each round players will have a unique set of artifacts that give them these asymmetrical abilities to help them manage these cards that they have. So when a player runs out of cards, the round is scored. And there'll be some very specific card scoring that I will go into later. But when you play all of the rounds, and so you will play four rounds, when the game ends, player with the most points will win and be the best seer of all of the seers. Let's review Sears Catalog. Well, welcome to another episode of the Year of the Card Game. With the Game Table Podcast and then Bezier Games, of course. So, I have to mention that we were given a review copy for this game from Bezier Games. There's that. As we always like to do on this podcast, we want to be honest with you. And so there is that. Now, I will be honest, is that I have played a lot of werewolf in my life. Honestly, probably way too much in my life. But I know a lot about werewolf, and it's always fun. Yeah, man. So when they start kind of doing these kind of spin-offs of werewolf-like characters, I always find it fun and enjoyable. And I think this is a fantastic theme because it's a seer. And I mean, if you grew up, if you're old enough, you know what Sears Outlet or Sears, the you know, the company Sears, you would go Sears Catalog, and you would shop through plenty of those things. I'm sure, obviously, there's a play on words here with the Sears Catalog. Sears Catalog was a fantastic thing. I didn't do much of it, but I do know what the Sears Catalog is. My parents mostly use Sears Catalog, so I was very familiar with it. I was too young to be buying stuff off there at the time, but Sears Catalog, S-E-A-R, Sear, was very cool. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, basically, it was like Amazon before Amazon. It had everything that you could ever want inside the catalog, and you would just, you know, either phone in and order it and, you know, whatever. Now Amazon's Amazon. We all know what Amazon is, but anyway, this was Amazon before, you know, the modern world. And now you have Sears Catalog, and you are picking through that, finding some great artifacts, which I'll explain. Let's go into a little how to play here, and you'll know what I mean. Again, the goal of trick-taking slash card shedding you know, you're trying to get rid of some cards. Now, in this game, your goal is to have less than 6 cards when a player runs out of cards. And that's incredibly important, is that in general, you don't want to be the guy that goes out of cards in this game, which is very different than some other trick-taking games / card shedding. You don't want to be completely out of cards. And that's the challenge in this game and the difference in this game than many other games. Each game will have a set of suits, artifact cards, and wild cards. Now, those are a specific special card, but there's also suits that you'll be playing with, like a trick-taking style game. To start a round, each player or each seer will get 1 wild, 2 artifacts, 1 bonus token, 1 bonus plus 6 bonus token, and then 12 suited cards. Now, depending on how many players you're with, this game is 2 to 5 player. Depending on how many players you have, that's how many suits you will play with in the game. It kind of just, it ramps up and down depending on how many players you have. So if you're playing with 2 players, you'll play with 3 suits. 3 players, you'll also play with 3 suits, but it'll be more numbers. 4 players, you'll play with 4 suits. And 5 players, you will play with all 5 suits. Depending on how many players there are, you also play with 2 artifacts per player. If you play with 5 players, 10. You know, 2 seers, you will play with 4 artifacts. Every player gets a wild card, like I said, so you always play with however many players there are. Now, to start a trick, and basically and I'm going to use the word trick because it's going to be the best way to describe this, is the player who has the artifact go first. There's literally an artifact that says go first. That player will go first during this part of the game, the first round or the first trick, so to speak, of the round. Again, you will play 4 rounds. To start a round, the player with this artifact, like I said, will go first, and you get to play a meld, as they call in this game, or a trick. There are specific types of tricks that you will do. There's singles, matching, and then suited runs, and I will go over each of those individually. Now, singles is very self-explanatory. It is a single card, and so the player will have to play a single card from their hand. These can be the artifacts, depending on which ones. There are some that allow you to do this, to play them this way or not, like a wild, you know, there's special rules based on each artifact and wilds on how they're played. And so I won't go into all those, but there are specific abilities that can be played as an individual card, and then some others can't. So keep that in mind. Now, a single card, like I said, it's from the suits that you're playing with. So, you know, if I play a 7, whatever. The next player goes on. Each player has to play a card. Well, they can choose to pass or they can choose to play a card. If they have less than 6 cards, they have to play something if able. If they're unable, then they still get to pass. When playing a card behind me, let's say I started with a 7, each player now that when it's their turn, they can either pass or they can play a card that's higher than my card. Or when we get into some of the other fancy things, I'll explain this. But let's say we're talking about single cards now. So if I played a 7, the next player would have to play an 8. If he played an 8, the next player would have to play a 9 or higher. And so that's how, it doesn't have to be in order. I'm just saying it has to be a higher value. That's a singles, very self-explanatory. There's a lot of special abilities and special artifacts that revolve around the individual single cards. So there's that. Now, matching is another set of card that you would play. It's a meld, they call it. It's a set of cards. It's a set of cards with the same value, and you can play as many cards as you want within that value. So if I play 3s, I could play 3 threes. I could play 2 threes. I could play 6 threes. Well, you can't play 6 threes, but you could play 5 threes. If you anyway, actually, I take that back. There's a way for you to do that with the wilds and some other special abilities. There are ways to play more than what it is, but I don't know if you would want to do that because I'm going to explain why. When I play a set of 3s, then the next player would have to play the same amount of cards, but they can play a different value. So if I play 3 3s, the next player would, again, have to be better than what I played. So they need to play 3 4s or, you know, 3 7s and so on and so on. They have to match the meld of what I played. So if it's three cards, they have to play that, but they have to play a values that are better than mine. Again, you're trying to beat the meld. So if I play something and they're unable to, every all the players would pass. Once you play through a meld, you keep going until the round ends, and I'll explain that in a second. But so if nobody else could follow, I will then lead the trick slash meld again. But you would continue to play this in this way. Now, if let's say I do play three threes and the next player play threes, fours, and then everybody else passes, then the guy who played fours will take those cards and then he will start the next meld and he gets to pick what he wants to do with those. Now, the last thing, the last meld is a suited run. The suited runs are two or more cards that are in a run. In a run is means in order. So a 2, 3, 4, a 4, 5, 6, or 2 through 7. I don't, whatever you want to play, it has to be a run and it has to be within the same suit. It has to be in the blue suit or the green suit or the red suit. It all has to be within the same suit where the matching does not. The matching is just the same number or so and so on. But the suited run is I play a suit of a specific number of cards. So let's say I played three cards. So let's say I played a 4, 5, and 6. The next player does not have to follow that suit specifically. They can if they want to, but they need to follow the meld in particular, which is the suited run, which is a run of cards. And so let's say I played a 3, 4, 5 or whatever. And then the next player would have, again, the basic rules of when playing is they need to beat what you've played. So if I played a 3, 4, 5 in my meld, their card needed to be at least a 4, 5, 6. Their last card in their stack needs to be higher than what my card is. Now, they can play 4, 5, 6, or they could play an 8, 9, 10, or 11, 12, 13, whatever they want to play. And again, rounds, I will set the kind of trick, and players will continue going around until everybody, except for that one player who played the cards, passes. So if I play a lower number, then the guy behind me plays a higher number, then the following players pass, and then it's my turn, and I don't have anything to beat his set. I would pass again, making him the first player for that next kind of trick slash meld slash whatever word you want to use. There are plenty of artifacts that can be used. There are special abilities that are used within these that very much change the complexity of this. Though these rules in particular are very fascinating in the way that you don't, you know, the way the rounds, it just, you keep going around until everybody passes and then the next round starts, which is a little bit different than many other trick takings that I've played where it's just everybody just plays one card, or, you know, it's individual rounds of just one card or like maybe two or three, depending on how it is. But this is like you play a set and if anybody can follow, then you go on and you keep, you could play, go around and round and round all in one technical trick if you really wanted it. And then the game might be over if you did it that way. I don't see that happening, but it could. It's possible if you did individuals or something weird like that. There's a way to get rid of a lot of cards in one like little quick little trick. So now, like I said, the rules, they have to follow the meld, the lead meld, and they have to play something better than it. And you will continue until, you know, somebody wins and then you start another, you know, trick slash meld. Now, you will continue to do this until a player is out of cards. When the player is out of cards, you will end the round immediately, and so you will score. And so then I'll get to scoring. And the reason I say that is when it's your turn and you have more than six cards, you can choose to pass if you would like to or not. But when you have six cards or less, you have to play. And so it gets really challenging is you have an option when you have like in the beginning of the round, you're like, okay, no, I don't really want to play into that meld. But as the game goes on and everybody's kind of low on cards, if they play a double and you're able to play, you have to play. And so it can really, really mess with specific people, especially if you're kind of seeing what other players are playing and you're kind of use your deductive skills in any trick taking slash game to determine what they have in their hand. You could easily pick that out and use that to your advantage because you can be like, okay, well, I'm going to play this because I know they have to play that. So anyway, you will play through until somebody's out. And the scoring for this specific game is very, very unique. is the player that went out of cards. He has zero cards in his hand, and they have no cards at all. So they will score zero. Now, you would say zero is a good number in any type of card game in scenarios like this. You're like, okay, well, you know, you're trying to not score points. Well, no, you're trying to score points in this game. When somebody runs out of cards, and this is the more optimal scenario, is that when another player runs out of cards and you have cards in your hand, you score the lowest card in your hand, then you minus and subtract cards left in your hand by that number, and that'll give you your score for that round, and you'll play four rounds, and whoever has the most points will win. But let's say, as an example, and I'm going to kind of explain it to you here because I don't think I did a very good job saying that, so I'm going to give you an example. Is, let's say Johnny over there runs out of cards because of he's not very good at the game, and it's my, I have two cards in hand, and the player to my left, Jared, has three cards in his hand. I have two cards in my hand. The cards in my hand are a two and a, well, actually, let's say a five and a seven. And again, the number, the suits don't really matter, but let's say I have a five and a seven in my hand. Jared over here, he has three fives, just for the sake of having three fives. So he has three fives. Now, the guy, Johnny O'Boy, who ended the round prematurely, he scores 0 points. Very good. Now, I score, again, I've, I don't even remember what I had, but anyway. You will take what you have. So let's say I had a five and a seven. Let's do it that way because I think that's better. So let's say I had a five and a seven. I take the five. That's my lowest numbered card in my hand. And so then I will subtract how many cards I have total. So I have five and seven. That's two cards. So two minus the five. So my total score will be three. Again, this gets a lot better if you had like a 13 and that was your only card and you just scored 12 points because you have one card. Now, Jared, he had three cards. He had a five minus the three. He scores two. It gets way better when you have higher number cards, but those cards are really good and allows you to win tricks to not lose tricks and lose rounds because you are trying to get rid of your cards, just not all of them. And so those high cards are important to use to lead, and leading in this game is important because if you're not leading, then it's really hard to just continue to follow suit and follow those melds because it does become challenging because you have specific cards in your hand that, you know, if they're playing sequences of like 2, 3, 4, well, all my numbers are spread out. I can't play that. So I need to be able to win one to be able to, you know, get rid of some of my cards. And so it is very important as you play throughout this game of knowing when to take the lead. And that is like any other trick-taking like game. Again, they're not calling this is a card shedding game. You are shedding cards. But any game that has tricks or rounds like this where there is a lead person, it is incredibly important for to know when to take the lead. That's what is really cool about this game is you are taking the lead. You got to take the lead at some point because you don't want to be stuck with like 6 or 7, 8 cards. And so it is important to do that. Now, again, you'll play through the four rounds and whoever has the most points in the game will win. Let's hop on over and talk about some other things that I like and dislike and so on about this game. Well, one, the theme is great. I like the play on words. I like the catalog vibe. I like all of those little things. I think it's really cool. I think it's a nice little twist, especially on the werewolf category of games. I really like how they use that to their advantage and make it kind of fun and light. And I don't know, the theme's cool. Artwork on this game, really cool. I don't know. It's just like, it's very simple art. Very functional, but it has really good depth behind it on the art, you know, the art like of the character and then the artifacts themselves. Oh, they are so cool. A lot of the artifacts are like kind of like werewolf, like, you know, killing werewolf type, you know, traps and artifacts or like potions. And like, there's just so many little things. I'm not going to go into what those artifacts all do. I think that's something that is important, but each player will have artifacts in front of them and they will use those artifacts throughout the game. And like, as an example of one, you know, it allows you to, it basically, this card counts as a high single card. And so it allows you to win a trick. Or, you know, one's like a low card. It's the lowest card in the pack. Or, you know, the wilds you can always use. It adds to whatever you're doing. So it's a wild card. Now, I will mention real quick, at the end of a round, if you haven't spent your artifacts and wilds, those are technically zeros. So if you want to get rid of those cards, because if, again, we talked about scoring, we take your lowest card, no matter how many cards you have, and that card counts as being in your hand. So let's say I have four cards and I have an artifact or the wild, that's going to be a zero. So I'm going to take zero because that's the lowest card I have, and then subtract like three or four cards from it, or two or one. It doesn't matter. The card is a zero and you don't want to score zero. You want to score points. And so you want to play those artifacts because they're really good, but there is a timing element to it, is that when do I want to play it? I don't want to waste it. And so it is important to know when to play. Talking about other parts of this game, again, the art is really cool. Please take a look at it. It's different. I have not, it's kind of this light. Again, it fits the werewolf vibe. They definitely are running with it here as well. But I think it's a very simple artwork with some fairly good art in the middle, but the numbers and all that are easy to read. Not anything overly complex whatsoever. I think it's very functional, but it also has some great flavor text on some of these cards, and I think it's really cool. I really, really, really like that a lot. Overall gameplay, I think the things that I like most, again, are the artifacts. They're really cool. I really like how they just bring this element of, I have my own special ability, and not everybody has that right now. And there, I think there's one that does copy, but in general, like, everybody gets two specific abilities for their game, for that like specific round. And you'll play through four rounds, so you'll get opportunities to get more than, you'll get to try them out. And there's a ton in there as well. There's a lot of artifacts. There are 15 total artifacts, so you won't play with all of them. You know, if you're playing five players, you'll play with 10. So, there are ways to exchange. If you want to switch them out frequently, you can, but I wouldn't recommend that. Just play with the same ones throughout the game. And then you always play with the go first one, because you'd have to know who goes first. So there's just so much, the ability to kind of manipulate the board state with these artifacts, the wilds, the way the suit following happens and the meld following. It is all really cool ways that the board is flowing constantly. And again, this game goes up to five. It's 2-5. So you're really looking at how the board flows. And again, I don't know if I recommend this game at two, like any other trick-taking, sly type game, card-shedding game. This game is definitely better at the higher play counts. It has that interaction that is really strong. You're constantly viewing what other people are playing. I think this game flows really, really well with a higher player count. Again, the things that I really like about this is those artifacts and the way that you play through a round inside of this this card shed. Like, I play a set of cards and you have to play better than me. And if you don't, then I'm going to get to go again. But I don't want to keep going over. I want somebody to win at some point because I can't lose all my cards, because then I'm going to score zero and everybody else is going to score who knows. There is a really, really fine balance. There's this very, very, very delicate, very delicate balance of knowing how many cards to play on your turn if you're leading. And how many, when do I follow? When is the time to follow somebody in a trick or whatever, in a meld? And there's really good decision-making when it comes to that. I think it's really, they did a really good job in that balance there. I do believe this game is a re-implantation of what's left. I think obviously they do it a little bit better. I didn't play that game. That game's a little bit older. That one came out in, 2023. But it's hardly has any traction. It doesn't look like that game's easy to find. But anyway, it's a re-implementation of what's left. So if you see that, it's just a different type of game. And the theme is not like werewolf, obviously. I don't know what this is. Some like little cute fish dude. I'm not going to, that's actually kind of funny. So anyway, Bezier took it and ran with it and rethemed it and did a very, very good job with it. I would say the one thing I don't particularly love sometimes about this game is, like any trick taking, the card draw can be bad. But I do think this, I feel like there is a lot of thinking in this game. There's a lot compared to like other style games in this area. It's not like, for me personally, I don't sit down and be like, oh, let's just play this light one. Like, I feel like I do think heavily in this game because you're like, it feels like every turn is like big. It's like it's a big decision of like, okay, well, what am I playing? Where there's some other trick takers where you're kind of just throwing around and I don't care as much. This one I do get heavily invested in because I do feel like each turn is important and has a lot of heaviness to your decisions. And so if you don't want something, and it's not an overly complex game or heavy game, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, as far as trick taking style card games, this is a little bit of it's a little bit more of a thinker. That doesn't mean that it's heavy. It's just saying you have to think about your turns a little bit more. So if you're not in a mood to be thinking about your turns, I don't know if I do this one. That's my personal opinion. That's just the way I play it. If you don't really care, I think you should try this one because I think it's a great game. I'm going to tell you that you the more you play it, you'll be sitting there thinking, okay, actually, hold on a second. I don't know if I want to play that or not, because every game, every round, every card play does seem important because you start out with 12, 14, 15, technically with all the extra cards, but you need to play through those, but you don't want to burn through them super quick, but you also don't want to hang on to all of them. There's a very, very delicate balance. And I think that's really cool. I think that's a positive, but also can be a negative if you're not really interested in playing that at that moment or that time of day, if it's late or something, you know, whatever. Something to be weary of. Like I said, this game did come out this year, and we are discussing Bezier's Year of the Card Game. We have discussed other games that are technically not made this year, but they have produced tons of games this year in particular, and expansions to games this year. And so we are looking at all of those. And so thank you for joining us in that endeavor. And I'm sure, again, we love Bezier games, so please visit their website for any of these games that we've talked about. Well, overall, like I said, this game is great. I like it. I think it's a great thinker. It's a good thinker, you know? I really do like that. And just, you know, dive into that catalog and find something that you're looking for. You know, find that next thing inside that catalog to purchase and go hunt some werewolves. Well, thank you so much for listening. Again, this is Ian with the Game Table Podcast. And tomorrow, we have another card game from Bezier. So make sure you tune again tomorrow. For today's game and other more information, please visit One Bezier, you know, website. Also, visit the Game Table Podcast. Check out our show notes, our socials, our Discord. Please, as we go through all of this week, and I'm sure somebody else will mention this at some point throughout the week, but I'm going to say it now. Once you get to the end of the week and you listen to all these wonderful episodes of all these games, please talk to us in Discord and tell us, one, have you played any of these games, but also which one was your favorite, and, you know, you can tell us what was your favorite episode, and you can tell me, you can tell all of us that it was this one, right? Tell Jared that this one was your favorite. But anyway, please tell us if you've played any of these games, and also tell us which of the games you're most excited for. So please do that for us in the Discord. Let's get talking about these games, because I think they're all great and they're all fun. And that is the number one thing we're looking to do when we play games. Until next time, may your dice rolls and card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. And watch out for those werewolves. They'll get ya. And make sure you shop in that Sears catalog.